This channel went over, and it's a continuation with Marvin and Mr. Eastman. This Monday, the after supper, the 29th of April, 74. Channel one over. Continuation with Marvin and Mr. Eastman.
Morgan, and she's She's getting old now.
Oh, Jesus, that pair there, they was good. I showed you pictures of them.
Yes. Oh, wait, Molly is a Morgan out here.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like just everybody. I didn't realize that was part of the Morgan in them.
You know, you take a thoroughbred Morgan, and they was great cavalry horses. And you can get onto one of them, and you can ride the daylights out of them, you know. And an ordinary horse, you stop them, you know, and they'll breathe heavy like that. And you take a Morgan, they'll let out a snort, and they breathe just as natural as though they never stirred. You take that pair that I had there, you know. Well, sometimes, you know, in the winter, it'd be kind of cold. They'd go with the milk, you know, and they'd like to run. Jesus, I used to let them run and play along the road, you know. They'd go like the very devil sometimes, you know. And then when I'd pull them down, you know, well, they'd let out a snort, and well, you wouldn't know what they'd been walking right along.
How about that? Did you ever have anything like that?
Yeah, I got one. I got that black-looking mare I got at the house.
Yeah.
She's Morgan.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Now, he got an old Morgan mare over there now.
Yeah.
He got out the pasture.
Yeah.
Well, she's retired. I retired.
She retired.
Oh.
She was my cow horse.
Yeah.
She was good, too. They're easy to learn.
She'd do anything you wanted her to
That's
do.
That's right. Just about.
Mr. Eastman, that spoils you. Bear horses like that spoils you.
Yeah.
And you're not satisfied with just ordinary animals.
We used to draw ice in the winter. And that little pair there, one of them weighed 1,200 and the other 1,225. And you know, I used to draw more ice than them horses that weighed a ton apiece.
Is that right?
The first load in the morning, of course, I fed them good, you know, and they always felt good. The first load in the morning to get down there at the pond, and they'd have to have two fellas hold them, one holding each horse, till I could load the ice. And the minute that I got that chain around the back of the load of ice there, you know, and I took a hold of the lines, I'm telling you, we went away from that pond in a hurry.
Yeah, yeah. They're feeling good.
Yeah, they felt good.
Well, you didn't have to have any exercise when you went home at night.
No. I used to get up in the morning, go down and clean the barn out, milk the cows, hook up the pair of horses there, and hook onto the sleigh and go out and spread the manure.
Mm-hmm.
Come back, load the milk on, or get my breakfast and load the milk on, and go to the milk station. Be back and get down to the pond and get there to get the first load of ice.
Yeah.
And then I generally got the last load at night, and that had given me quite a lot more ice than any other team drawing.
Yeah. Well, sir.
And you stored this ice?
Huh?
You put this ice in big refrigerators, or you stored it?
Well, up to the milk station there. They had that big, big ice house up there, you know. It held 1,000 tons of ice. That's a lot of ice.
That's a lot of ice. What did you? It would pretty well refrigerate itself, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, then you know they'd take and fill that ice house. See, and they had this chute that went up, you know, and they had this carrier that went in there, and it was on a slant. Well, you'd take and slide a cake of ice in there, you know. And they took it right up, and when it got up to the above where they had it filled in, you know, that ice would go right off, see? Well, then they had some plank up there with some iron bars on it. Geez, I'd hit onto that, you know, and shoot way off across the land up there. Well, then when they got the ice out filled, well, they'd have to take it out, and every morning when the fellas got up there to the milk station, that the first thing they had to do was get out so many cakes of ice to cool the milk with.
Yeah.
Well, that was before they had the mechanical refrigeration.
Sure, sure. But they had a system. They didn't have to pick that up at all.
Yeah, running that out.
Right out of the lake.
Yep. You see, they had a hoist on the carrier box there, you know, to draw it right up, see? Had a gas engine set out there with a drum and a hoist on there, and the fella worked the lever on there, you know, and he would run that rope and run it right up.
Look at that.
Cake of ice got off and to come back down, and you let another cake on there, and up she'd go and come down. And
and never got tired, just kept it going.
You just kept it going.
And time you done, now how many hours did you put in doing that?
I don't know.
Well, you put in a pretty good day's work, didn't
yeah.
you? I mean, when you went out there and scattered the manure, you didn't count that up as your day's work, did
no.
you?
No.
That was just getting ready for it.
Getting ready for it.
you see, Mr. Eastman, I think I'm the first generation that had to go out and exercise.
Yeah.
You never had to go out and just take exercise, did you?
Well, I've seen plenty of exercise, and then...
No.
After I got...
I'm it.
After I got off on the farm and I was a maintenance man for the milk stations around there, where we put in all that mechanical refrigeration in there to cool the milk and one thing and another.
Yeah.
They put in that milk cooler, you know, and it'd have all this, be a big plate, like taking this table and turning it up like this and have another one on the other side, see? And the milk would come in on the top and to start right along here and run right down like that. And of course, on the inside of this would be all this mechanical refrigeration in there.
Yeah.
And to cool it, the milk run down off and that, run down over that and cool it.
Well, you see, you you never miss the old horses, you see. You didn't need the horses then.
No.
But you were glad to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Your mother gone? No. She'll be wanting to see you. She sure will. She just went in there. She'll be out. She was asking about you all the other day. She sure was.
Yeah.
Marvin, how much do you have a pole entry for your... Where do you take your electricity to? You take it out to the shed?
Oh, no. No, we stopped at the house.
Yeah.
Well, I used to put them in up home there, you know. We'd set a pole out there, and then the electric line would come to the pole. We'd put this service down here, and the meter and the service box on the bottom of it. Well, then we'd take off in that service box and go back up the pole. And we'd run one line over to this building, and another one over to that one, and then over here, and another one maybe over there. But they'd have it all on this one center service. But you know, I'm from New York State, see? And I've never seen any of that service down here on that pole like that.
Well, that's just because it didn't have enough ingenuity or something. Have you seen it?
No, sir, I sure haven't. Well, we've got a pole that is sitting between the house and the barn. It could be used for a service pole like that, and it's got the big meter box on it, and it could be used just like you say, but we're not using it.
No.
As a matter of fact, we don't have any use for it.
Well, you take it down here now, they take all these places down here, I lived down to Orange Lake, and those motels down there, and the trailer courts, everyone who took them motels down there, everyone's got to have a separate service on it, separate meter.
Mm.
And the same way with the house trailers down there. Every one of them got to have a separate meter on, see? Well, I tried to get a hold of the power company fella. I've been there twice to see him, and I can't catch him there. And I tried to call him on the telephone. I couldn't get him on the telephone to find out if we could set one of them outfits out here, see?
But what they got it over, like Florida Power?
Yeah, it's Florida Power. That's the same as it is here.
Do you hear that cardinal cracking green in the dark out there?
Mm-hmm. I heard that, and I wondered what that was.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. That cardinal's cracking green out there in the dark, Mr. Eastman. I can hear him cracking it.
Yeah, well, I didn't hear him. See, I'm hard of hearing. Uh-huh. I've got two hearing aids. But, Jesus, you know, I can't use them. I use them on a Sunday or something. But through the week, now, I get out and working, you know. Jeez, I hit a piece of tin or something, and my God, man, the top of your head goes right up off.
You know, I've heard people say that the wore them things. Say you can hear a grasshopper, you know, singing.
Yeah.
And it just about run you crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get out somewhere and drop a wrench on a pipe or something, and geezer, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I put them on one day. We're down John Palmer's to put the roof on that walk-in cooler that I built. Jesus, I had to take them off and put them in the truck. Jesus, just couldn't stand it. God, you take drive a nail in that tin, and my God.
You remember when we used to have streetcars? I remember one of my neighbors, she was older. She was elderly then, and I was just sort of growing up. And she had that hearing aid, you see. She had a little, what was that?
Yeah,
a little battery. Yeah. I guess, a little old, they used to carry a little old battery deal.
Yeah. Something like that.
Pinned on them.
Pinned on it, mm-hmm. Yes. You'd see her on a streetcar, and you'd speak to her, and she wouldn't even look. She wouldn't even look, you see. She got them hearing aids way out to where they wouldn't bother you. See, that streetcar makes a damn much noise.
Well, they
must
got
have been raised yeah, top
turned,
over here.
Yeah, right down.
They got a way of turning them down. As
yeah,
a matter
well,
of fact, you
can
turn them off.
A little wheel on it, you know, you see. And I got these to go over your ear, and you just turn it right down. I can turn it down so that you can't hear nothing, see. But when you do that, what the hell good is the hearing aid?
Yeah. So you just take them off.
Yeah.
Well, they don't cost you much.
They don't. It cost me $700 for a pair of them. And my neighbor down there.
Mr. Eastman, that you can buy an automobile for that.
Yeah, my neighbor down there paid $369 for one, just like mine, and bought it off from the same fella. And he had it about 2 weeks and lost it.
Mm-mm.
God, he had to go and pay. He paid $350 for the second one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Lost it. You know, I bought me some reading glasses lately. I can read better in them.
No.
but see, what happens is, these glasses here are not reading glasses. And I got these flip things on there. And I wear them in there, but I wear them out. And you see, I have these glasses. You see, I got a case for them. I'm going to carry them with me. And the other ones, I get them, and then I stick them down in my pocket, something like that, and I lose them. They won't stay in your pocket, a pair of glasses.
No.
They'll
work this stuff out of your pocket. They're worse than a $20 bill about jumping out of your pocket. That's something else that's hard to keep in your pocket if you haven't got it tied down. It's paper money.
Yeah.
It'll work its way right on out of it.
Marvin, that fella looked like an awful interesting fella. That last time I was over at your house, we were sitting there at the table drinking coffee and snacking. You don't remember that. It's been so long. Him and his wife, I guess, or daughter, or wife. And don't you know, hell, I don't remember his name. I don't know that I got his name. He lived right over here towards me.
No? Oh, I know who you think talking about. He just lately moved in here. His name is Bob.
I remember you.
King.
Or is that
King? Him? Bob King. He bought that place from Woodard Coleman.
Oh, yeah. That's where he lived.
Yeah, that must have been him.
Bob
him, and
King.
Him and his wife.
Well, now, as I recollect, is his hair retreating a little?
Yes, it is.
His wife looks much younger.
That's right.
She's not necessarily so young, but she looks younger.
Well, you know, he's got quite a bit of money, I think.
Oh.
Or did have. What he done, well, his mother, I think, is the backbone of the family there, because she was a nurse. Well, she was more than a nurse. I guess you'd call her I don't know what you would call these
supervisor
people.
Supervisor, probably.
That's right. A nurse's supervisor, because she'd go from one hospital to the other, you know, and kind of inspect her or something like that. And he bought out.
They get money now. I don't know then.
He bought out that franchise for that, what was it, the Honda? Motorcycle, I think it was. And he kept that for a long time, and you know, the the franchise for it.
Bob King.
King. And then he sold that. He built him a big shop, and he sold that. And he had agents from Oakell and Tampa and St. Pete and all that selling them for him. And he made quite a bit of money, so he just got tired of it and sold the whole thing lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah.
So that brought him in a pretty penny.
Mm-hmm.
And then his mother, I think, she had plenty to start with. So she's getting along pretty good.
He pretty well do. If he wants an airboat, he can get it.
That's right.
Well, he's on that side of the road. The idea he's on this side.
Oh, no, he's across the road.
Does he have a house or a trailer?
He has a house.
Bought it from Coleman.
That's right.
He didn't pay too much.
Yeah, he paid, what was it? About $1,500 an acre for that.
Well, Coleman is a good, he gets the price of it, mm-hmm. does he? Is that right? Mm-hmm. Coleman, how many acres was it?
20.
Ooh. God
of course, there was a bunch of heirs, you know, that it had to be split up in several different portions.
Yeah.
So Coleman, he didn't get rich out of it, but he got it.
He got
more than the land was worth to start with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my brother-in-law then, he bought part of it. Him and King went together and bought it together.
Yeah. Who?
My brother-in-law, Poke. Rob Poke.
Huh?
Rob.
Yeah,
Rob Poke.
Yeah.
They bought that place together, and Rob's building him a house now. He got it near about completed down there. Bob.
Oh, has he?
Bob King, he got Jim Walter to come in there and build him one.
Yeah.
And
he already living in it.
Oh, yeah. He told them what he wanted, see, and everything. So they told him what it would cost him. He just sat down and wrote them a check. And this when they started for the house. And then they're taking their time about building it. So it was about 8 months, I reckon, putting up a house that they ought have done in 2 weeks.
Oh, don't tell me.
Well, if you hadn't paid for it, they'd have went ahead and put it up. But I got my money,
well,
now you do the
waiting. Well, that's screwball, isn't it? That is screwball,
yeah,
isn't it?
That sounds like poor business.
Yeah, a man pays for the house before he gets it,
yeah.
Mr. Eastman. You don't have any experience like that, do you?
So what they done, they come in and they put down the floor. They just cement floor? No, it was a wood floor.
Oh.
They just come in and put down a wood floor and went off and left it. And it started raining. And it just ruined the floor. So he got the inspector out there, and the inspector said, well, says, that won't do. Says, they'll have to do that over. So when they had to come out there and do the floor over, they got busy then and built the house.
Built
a shelter over.
Yeah. Well, ain't that screwball?
And then, yeah. Oh, it's been since Christmas. He turned in and built him a shop out there. He's got a shop out there, welding torch, acetylene torch, electric weld. He got that, all that stuff.
Oh,
and he's a welder. He taught welding for a long time.
Taught welding.
Mm-hmm. And so that shop out there must have cost him, I would say, $5,000 to build it.
Yeah. You see, he got neighbors now, Mr. Eastman. Now, old Jack, what's his name?
Wells.
Jack Wells, he don't have anything like that.
Oh, no. Jack's like me, he's a poor man.
Is he poor?
He has to work for a living.
Yeah.
That's better off.
But that's right. King, he don't.
Oh, gee, well, I gotta go home. Well, I'll see what I can find out.
All right.
Let's shop up again. It's been nice talking to you.
Same to you, sir. Okay.
Mrs. Eastman, hey, for your run off. Well, anyhow, he's a good neighbor.
He's all right. He drinks a lot.
Jack Wells?
No, Jack don't drink at all. He don't touch it.
Jack.
I'm talking about
Bob King.
Yeah, he goes with a beer in his hand just about all the time.
Oh, does he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you keep beers for people over there?
What?
Do you keep beer in your ass box for people?
Oh, no. No, if they don't bring their own beer, they just don't get it.
Well, let me tell you, Marvin, I never have been a part of the term they use these days, the whiskey culture.
Mm-hmm.
They call it the drug culture,
mm-hmm,
and the whiskey culture. I never was a part of that whiskey culture. I never felt at home messing around with that.
No,
I tried it a time or two, and I always come out in the hole.
Well, I don't make a habit of it now. Once in a while, I'll drink a beer.
A beer. Well, hell, you ain't in it.
Well, I know. That's it. The only time I do that, if I'm on the road or something or another and get showing up thirsty. But I don't fool with Cokes and stuff like that. I just never did learn to drink them too much.
Yeah.
I'll get me a beer or something and drink it and go on. Well, that'll kill my thirst next to water.
I see.
Any of that other stuff, I can drink it and get thirsty and just thirst to death on it.
Yeah. Well, do you practically take it like medicine?
Well, I...
Like a tonic or something.
I reckon that's what you'd call it. I don't know. We have a little beer once in a while in the icebox.
Yeah, just a very little.
That's right.
Well, you see, what they do over at Micanopy there, old Swicord and them, if anybody comes to see them, they'll either get it out of the refrigerator or send for it at the store and get a package of six.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they'll visit, as long as the beer lasts.
Well, that just gets them started, that's six. Just gets them started.
Well, you see, that leaves me out. I never did care much for the conversation after they started that business.
No, I see it.
They started throwing the hands around.
Yeah,
and
talking all kind of things that I don't understand.
Uh-huh, and generally a little bit loud.
Yeah.
Here I'm talking loud. You see, Mamu can't hear. Mr. Eastman can't hear.
Uh-huh.
And I'm still talking loud to you, as if you can't hear.
Well, you know, I can, like I was talking to him, I can, you can about look at a person and tell if he's hard of hearing, you know.
Yeah.
And I got talking loud to him, and now I'm talking loud to you.
Yeah. Well, he must be a pretty, you all see him every now and then, Bob King?
Oh, I saw his wife today.
Well,
every once in a while.
They must be pretty good fun.
They are. They're good neighbors.
Good
they're
neighbors.
Just good neighbors.
You know, a lot of time it takes a little money to make you feel a little
well,
free.
You take Bob, he's friendly, just as friendly as he can be. Do anything in the world he can for you.
Is that right?
But you know, he was the only child.
Oh.
And mama spoiled him, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, he just like a spoiled brat. He can get mad right now.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes he done forgot it.
Yeah.
Just you know, you've seen little Tots.
Nothing personal.
Yeah, that's right. Just.
That's funny. It just stays right with him as old as he is. 30, 40 years old.
He's just a spoiled brat.
Well, I was kind of impressed by that manner of his. You know, he would sort of duck his head and every now and then kind of look up at you.
Mm-hmm.
He talked easy,
mm-hmm.
but he was right deliberate. You don't see him much like that now.
That's right.
They all just go lickety split. So he had good raising, I'd say.
Yeah, and they got a boy down there. Of course, it's his wife's boy. And if he comes up and don't speak to you, he'd get on him right now. He makes him speak.
Uh-huh.
And if he says no or something like that. He'll correct him right now. He said, no, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what can the little wife do?
What she'll do is she'll, you mean?
Does she know how to do anything?
Oh, yeah.
Cook and sow and vegetables?
She cooks and she's raised the first garden in her life.
Oh, really?
And she raised the garden, too.
Yeah.
I was down there this afternoon for a little bit, and she was out there digging some Irish potatoes. And she'd already made taters that big.
Yeah.
First thing she'd ever made.
Yeah. Proud of them.
That's right. She said she was just as proud of them as if they was gold taters.
Yeah. Marvin, you don't ever go back up there to see your buddies up there. Don't you get lonesome? Don't you miss them, kind of?
Oh, you mean at the university?
Yeah.
I saw a bunch of them rascals. Saturday. Yeah, some of them want me to go back out there to work, but I don't know. And, well, the chairman, Dr. Strobel, asked me Saturday. He says, when you coming back out there to work? I said, what you mean work? I said, I was on a vacation out there. I've been working since I left.
He knows what you mean.
And then he says, well, he says, why don't you take your vacation and come on back out there?
Yeah.
I told him, I said, no, I says, I don't reckon. Not as long as I can get by working, I just won't take no vacation.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, sometimes I think I ought to go on back out there.
Well, you know what? I remember I've been up there many a time. And I'd sit down in that chair at the office, and I'd think to myself, boy, I sure am enjoying this relief. Nobody can dream. I hadn't been through it, Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
just what all is to do, it can be.
That's right.
Even though they don't do it all.
That's right.
Oh, man. And then you see, especially when you got animals and they misbehave and you get in the calving season and one thing and another.
I think one thing, they would like to have me back out there. I know how to handle men, you know, pretty good. And I can get along with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get to working a bunch of fellas. And you got to kind of go along with them and get along with them.
Yeah.
And they'll do twice as much and twice as good.
Yeah.
So that's why I could get something out of it.
And you don't have all that friction and everything and sewing off on people.
That's
the beauty of it. That's the sort of people they want. You know it is, and you know they don't have enough of them.
I used to, when I was out there, and fellas, they see me coming, you know, usually, and fellas, they drag around till they see the boss are coming or the foreman, and then they get in a hurry.
Yeah.
Want to show up. They go up there and tell them, I said, slow down, fella. Don't rush yourself. I says, what you don't get done today, you get done tomorrow. And I said, if you do it all today, we're going to have to sit down tomorrow, so just take your time. And that suited them.
That suited them. That's what they wanted to hear.
And it, you know, a slow hand is better than a fast hand.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard for some to think and believe that.
It is actually. Because you put a person out there to hoeing. If he's getting fast, he's covering up more than he's hoeing up.
Yeah. But then he don't last as long.
That's right. If he'll take his time, he'll do good work. And he won't have to go back over it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So
I imagine old Jack Wells, I imagine and his wife, she's the one I guess Miss Mary would appreciate having her around there.
Mm-hmm.
Have somebody close by. Mm-hmm. And she'd be there more regular than he.
Oh yeah, well he's talking about getting out going to work. You know, he's a plumber and he is a good one.
Yeah.
He can sure do some pretty work.
Yeah. You've seen some of his work?
Oh,
seen it over there.
Yeah, he done his house and he done pretty work.
Yeah.
So he's, I think, thinking about trying to get out maybe next week after next week. See what he can do. Of course, you know, he's in the union and he's waiting for him to pull him off of the bench now.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some work in Orlando, but he didn't want to drive all the way back up there. And now they opened a place in, where is it? Daytona, I think it is. So he's thinking maybe he'd get to go to Daytona to work.
Mm-hmm. And he'd consider that.
Yeah. Well, that's quite a drive, you know.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Quite a drive.
Would he make a round trip?
I imagine he would.
He wouldn't go over and stay for a day or two.
Well, I wouldn't think so. It'd eat him up trying to stay in a motel or something like that, you know.
And he wouldn't have a place else to stay.
That's right. Well, he drove when he tried it in Orlando since he'd been down here. He drove it back in two.
Mm-hmm. Well, you all ever regret getting rid of that little old mobile home, that house trailer had over there for a while?
No, sir. Well, at one time I did, but then we didn't need it, actually.
You don't have many people that's coming and stay all night with you.
Not too many, no. Used to.
Yeah.
But
now they all go home.
That's right.
Well, I picked up one the other day. It's bigger than I thought it was. I wanted about a 20-foot one. I got a 36-foot one.
Mm-hmm.
That's considerable error. I don't know how I did it. I think what happened, there it was, a little bitty old dinky thing. There were those, them 72-footers. That's the only thing I can figure. Because I looked at it, and it didn't impress me. And when it got up here, it's as big as all our doors.
Well, I'll declare.
And I don't need it.
You don't need it.
And what I wanted for, I wanted to do some work in. And I also wanted for people who came along, you see, and they could spend the night out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't mess around in the house.
Right.
You see, this old house is noisy. You can't walk upstairs without everybody knowing it. And I didn't pay much for it, you see. It's a good one. I mean, it's nice and clean, and
mm-hmm.
everything's there. I paid $1,250 for it.
Oh, shit. That's all right. That's not a bad price.
Well,
at all.
You couldn't hardly put in a bathroom for that.
No, I guess not.
And, you know, that's one remarkable thing about those trailers. If you just forget about all that space and all that 2 and 3 bedroom that they have,
mm-hmm.
and you just look at that little central part there where the utilities are, that's enough to run a big family, Marvin.
Sure.
It's all there. You don't have to go around buying it. It's all. I never saw one yet that wasn't the utilities in it didn't hold up.
Me either.
Of course, they weigh out and all like that. They don't. But even so, they'll stand a lot of. And they don't have to be the best quality, and they still stand up pretty well. You see, that's just magic, and it's all right there where you can reach it.
And I imagine it's probably one of them old type trailers.
58.
Mm-hmm. It's a good trailer.
It is sturdy.
They don't make them like that today. I mean, you know, since 60, they started making the trailers flimsy. You know, you can just about breathe the sides in
yeah,
and out of them.
Yeah, yeah. I never heard of this kind as an old Anderson.
Yeah, I've heard of them. Mm-hmm. They make them, I think, up north. The Anderson.
Yeah.
I don't think they make them. You know, they make them in trailers and not Orlando, but somewhere right close around Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
They make them, and then they make some more. On up in between him and Jacksonville.
They make a lot of them down here at Ocala.
At Ocala. Mm-hmm.
you can tell the difference as soon as you put your foot on one. You can feel it. You can say
yeah.
can feel it when it's
yeah.
good, when it's sturdy. You see the pictures of them in these storms. You see in the. Sides of them up in trees. You don't want anything like
well,
that.
Well, I'm going to tell you. People forget to anchor them things. You know, they put anchors on them. It's against the law to sell one without the anchor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is.
Them straps, it comes around, see.
Yeah.
It comes over each end of them, like that there.
Yeah.
And they got them straps, it comes out there. And them straps is supposed to be put in the ground and cement poured in on them straps to anchor them trailers so the wind can't shift them
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And, well, if you're putting down one for a home, the inspector comes around, well, he'll condemn it if it's not done.
Mm-hmm. this old one I got out here, it's pretty close to the ground. It's got all them trees around it, and it's not much of a way that it would take a pretty considerable wind to get that. But that's what you're afraid of anyhow, one of those strong winds.
Well, that one you got out there, it's been there long enough. It'd take something. The wind would turn this house over by the time it turned it over.
Yeah. I don't know, those straps on it, I don't know how much good they do.
Well, they do a lot of good.
Yeah. I got it strapped down from the frame, you see, but I don't have it. That's all, just a frame.
Well, that frame has got a strap on it. Well, in return, doesn't that strap go on up all the way around? Isn't it hidden? Isn't it a hidden strap? It goes up like this and comes down.
When did they start doing that?
Oh, they started that way back then.
Did they?
Mm-hmm. In other words, you told me there's a strap that comes all the way across each end of it like that and comes down on the corner.
Yeah.
See, and about that much of it is all you see, actually.
Yeah.
But the rest of it is supposed to be there hid there, you know, built in with the trailer.
Well, I didn't see anything. I've never have seen anything like that. All I did was, you know, anchor it down there with a frame. I figured that would help a little bit.
Yeah, it takes a pretty good wind to turn them over anyway. Most of them it turns over is out in open fields, you know, and prairies and places like that.
Now you take right out there, you've got that protected with trees.
That's right.
In every direction. And that right down that way, it's just solid woods all the way down there. Mm-hmm. If it came from that way, but it might not come from that way.
Well, anywhere it comes from, it's you've got a good windbreak here.
Yeah, I got some protection. I don't know how it would do with that. If you got one of them hard winds.
If you get one of them that tornadoes, but it goes in a twist anyway. It just. Probably, if it could do it, it'd pick it up. That's what happens. It just lifts up. See?
Yeah. I had a backhoe in here not so long ago, and I dug out that old silage trench.
Oh.
The little one. And I'm going to, I do everything just a little at a time. It's about, I guess, counting the bank, it's about 6 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna roof it in there a little bit. So if we get any, you know, you don't have any place to go over there. You don't even have a ditch.
That's right.
Well, there ain't any ditch here. In any place. I get in behind one of these old oak trees.
Well, you'd be in just about as much danger, wouldn't you? Your limbs are twisting off.
Yeah.
Something coming down on you.
Yeah, someone hit you and smack you. Yes, sir. Well,
I don't know. I always figured these old buildings, they've rode out of many of them, and I feel like they're riding them out right on. So. It's not the old buildings that hurt as much as it is the new ones, you know it?
Yeah.
You look how many years this house has been here.
Yeah.
Look how many years that house has been there where I stay.
Yeah, that's right.
Them old houses, they've weathered a lot of storms.
They sure have.
You know?
Yes, sir.
And I feel like they'll continue.
Yeah.
Because when they built them stout, strong, sturdy.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Well, Marvin, I was over past y'all's house the other morning. I was going over there to Shirley's, Miss Dodge. She called over and said she was going out there, and she's going to let the calves in the yard there to eat a little bit. So I went on over there. Well, I'll tell you, I'm telling you, I wouldn't have recognized him.
What did they put on or lost some?
They haven't got much there, not much left.
Hmm.
They, that hay will hold them as long as they don't have a cap on them, Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
But once you got a cap on them, you got to, they got
that hay ain't going to do it. It just can't do it.
It just can't do it.
It's not that. Well, you know, I don't know why they don't go ahead and get them a couple of protein tanks. It would help them a lot where they're carrying them calves and where they're suckling them calves. I don't think it'll fatten them, but it'll keep them strong enough that they can go on and get what's out there to get.
Yeah.
And another thing I can't understand, he's got as fine a pasture as anybody would want back in that marsh back there. If he would, he's leasing it to Billy Hughes. And, for $300, he could fence in as fine a pasture as he is in this county and let them go in there, take in the edge of that marsh out there. There's grass comes up, that good grass, you know, that high, they'd enjoy it. Get them out of them old dry fields.
Hmm.
Well, cows, they like a little bit of a marshland, you know, you got marshland here.
Yeah.
And you know how your cows did.
Oh, yeah. Well, even when they're full of hair, they want that.
That's right.
You know, that's about, I can't think of any other place. That's a big place. That's 700 acres, Marvin.
Yeah, I know.
That hadn't got one spot, one field of bahia grass. Now that is something for Florida.
That's right.
Why, you'd have bahia grass, I don't care whether if you just had a milk cow, still had bahia grass.
And I don't see how he keeps it down, because I could even let a field lay out and it'd volunteer and come up in it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we got bahia.
Yes. Because you can always put a little something else with that.
Right.
And that's a staff of life, isn't it?
And you don't have to fertilize that stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you can use a fertilizer this year, and next year put a little bit of lime, a dolomite or something on it. It doesn't cost you so much. I think dolomite can be put on the ground now for, what, $11 a ton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you've been putting on some dolomite.
Well, I had that little piece right there side the road, the patch of about 3 acres.
Mm-hmm.
I had them put 3 tons on that. And how come to do that? I intend to put down some more, but I don't want to do it too. We get to get some rain.
Yeah. Blow away.
Well, not only that, but it just lay up there and the sun will cook it out.
The sun will cook it out, yeah.
Zane Hogan, he had 23 tons coming in. He said he had to take that much to get any. And he says, I don't need it all. And he said, if you need any, I'll let him put some on yours. And I said, well, I says, just let them come out and put what they don't need on this place in.
Mm-hmm.
So I was gone one day, and then when they come out, and they put it out. He said that they put 3 tons out there, and I believed them because it was there on the ground to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had the thing set on a ton to the acre.
Yeah. Then if it rained, you'd cut it in, you'd be in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
How long does that take that to take effect?
That dolomite? Or if it starts raining, why, it just, you don't need to cut it in. It'll wash it in around them roots, grass roots. And it'll take effect right away.
Yes, if you've got the grass there, it'll hold it.
Yeah. Well, see, we've got everything we've got is pretty well solid.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Well, I tell you, I don't know. Have you sold any cattle recently?
I sure have.
Let's see.
That one, it had brucellosis.
Yeah.
And she didn't bring nothing.
No, they will. They don't.
But I think they way off right on. Right down.
They're still way off?
They're up from what they was, but they're still not near as high as it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
No way near.
How much could you buy a cow for?
You know, that's something I don't know. I haven't checked the markets, and I don't know when, but Hogan's... I know he went to the market today, or he went somewhere. I seen him putting his truck bed on, and I seen him come back by the house with, look like a dun, you know, a kind of a brownish looking moleskin colored yearling or a cow in the truck, and she was climbing the sides. I don't know whether he got fence enough to hold her or not.
Yeah.
And they must be pretty cheap for him to buy.
Yeah. Well, that trip for one cow, that's a considerable overhead.
That's right. No, I believe if I was going to buy, I think I'd buy two or three anyhow.
Buy two or three, yeah. Well, you need them or not.
That's right.
Just
well, he's needing them because that brucellosis has about got him thinned out.
Yes, that really hit him.
Yeah, it knocked him back. And I don't know what we're going to do when they come again. Now, they'll be in again any time now, any day.
Yeah.
And we liable to have two or three more than the field.
Yeah. Oh, my. That's, I don't know that they need to be so careful about that. It's
not in beef cattle.
Beef cattle.
The dairy cattle seem like...
Well, dairy cattle, they'll sort of eliminate themselves.
Yeah.
Because they're so high, and they sell them for what they produce.
Sure.
At least they do it to some extent. Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to get back into the cattle market, but I can't ride a tractor, Marvin. It shakes me up.
Yeah.
And I get that irritation, and it's just not worth it. Then I have to start taking antibiotics, and you know, you can take just so many.
That's right.
They don't affect you.
Well, I don't know.
So I just laying off the tractor.
Sometimes I'm good notion to just get rid of what we got, cows, and do like the man told me, going out there and take my vacation.
Well, it'd be something.
I tell you, post and wires got so high you can't afford to do much fencing. And if you got cows, you all the time got to be, you know, doing
all
some
time.
Fencing.
Yes. Well, you know, it's all right, except 8 hours is such a long day. And then it takes you a half hour to get out there.
Well, the time you figure everything, well, you put in about 9 or 10 hours going back into, you know, on the job. And
yeah. Then you've got
to
get
ready.
Well,
figure you've gone from home close to 10 hours. You might as well say 10 hours.
Well, you start to work out there at 8 o'clock. You punch the clock.
Yeah.
But you leave home a little after 7.
I don't punch no clock. I just go on the job and, well... When I was out there before, I'd go to the Arch Road Greenhouse, you know where that is. I had a van sitting there. And I'd pick up my van, and what man that was supposed to caught me there. or I'd have to take on off on my chonda that turf. And when I got out there, well, that was the Hort unit, we call it. Time I got out there is usually 9 o'clock, 9:30. And I'd leave from out there at 4.
Yeah.
And come on in to the greenhouse. Sometimes it depended on the traffic. If the traffic was heavy, well, it'd take me till 5 o'clock to get there. And if it wasn't, then I'd be there at 4:30.
Yeah.
Well, when I got there, if it was 4:30, I'd come on home. If it was 5 o'clock, then it was knocking off time. So that was it.
So all in all, you haven't done much, but it's been a pretty long day.
That's right.
So if you're not tired, at least you wore out.
That's right. That's it.
Well, now that's you see, we all get into that, Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
We all get into that. I go up there and I sit. I don't care if I don't do one damn thing. If I sit there at the desk and read a little bit, I got to do something to kill the time.
That's right.
I'm just as tired when I get home as if mm-hmm. I'd done some work.
Well, it's just a job. It's got to be done, and you know you're going to do it.
Yeah.
So.
And that sort of puts the pinchers on your weekend then, you see.
That's
you're
it.
Trying to crowd things into your weekend. And then if it comes up a little shower, you put it off to the next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time I got on to that, you know, it seemed like we were going to do everything to that weekend. And when that weekend come, the machinery is something
would break
down.
Down.
You have to go to town. And by that time, you see, half a day is gone. And you know how to get started. So you say, well, I'll get it next Saturday.
Time you go to town to get your part and come back. You got to wait till Sunday then to put it on. You know, the day is gone.
Yeah.
So.
Well.
Don't get much done, though. That's true.
No. You see, most of your time, you haven't had to worry about that. You had the whole week and the weekend, too. And, you know, they talk about all this full employment and all like that. I don't know, Marvin. I hear so much about that, I get tired hearing about it. And I think to myself, when I was growing up, you see, there wasn't hardly anybody fully employed. Oh, you see, Jeter would be a clerk, and he'd work steady at the dry goods store and a few people like that. But by and large, everybody had seasonal work.
That's right.
And you might put in a sweet potato bed around Christmas, but it wasn't too much work to put in a sweet potato bed. And
they're talking about, I was talking about it. I don't know what they ever done about it. Making what the state was. Talking about putting in, what was it, a 10-hour day and working 4 days a week, I believe.
Yeah.
In place of five. So,
well, now some of them doing that up there.
Well, I think so, but when they was talking about it before I quit from out there, and I didn't like that at all, because I mean, if I'm working and you working and you put in 10 hours, there's a few things you need to do around the house when you come in, whether you got cattle or whether you haven't. And if you put 10 hours in up there, you just haven't got time to do anything to put in 10 hours.
You're moonlighting every day.
That's right. But if you put in 5 days a week, you still got an extra day. I mean, you still got plenty of daylight. If you put in 8 hours a day, you got plenty of daylight. When you get home, you got 2-3 hours of daylight to do a whole lot in the afternoon or the evening. That you could do, that way that you couldn't do if you're putting in 10 hours. And putting in them 10 hours still wouldn't make up them other 2 days on the weekend like Friday and Saturday, because you're sure to break down on Friday. It'll take you all day Saturday to fix it. You got to work all day Sunday to catch up. But you haven't gained anything.
I'm telling you, it's hard to beat the game, ain't it? I'm telling you, you got to be pretty slick to beat it. If it don't get you on one way, it gets you on.
That's right.
Now, you see, the thing that wears me out is typewriter. Well, I was brought up plowing and using a hoe and a spade. And I can go through a day using a spade, Marvin, and I don't feel tired.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel pretty...
Well, you know, you know how to use it. You don't muscle it around you. You learn how to use it.
Well, like we used to do that. But we'd come home at night and we felt like go out dancing a while. Or going around and sit down at the drugstore and see who's coming in.
I see people, you know, that's not used to spades and things.
Yeah.
They'll get a spade of dirt. Why, they'll take all the muscle to bring it up and put it over.
Yeah.
Well, they don't know how to use it. No. I mean, anybody that's, they don't breast it, they usually just take it and put the weight against it like that, and, you know, work with it.
Yeah.
Like working a tractor, anything else.
Yeah.
You got to work with it. If it falls in a hole, you fall in it with it.
Yeah.
If it comes out, you come out with it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to brace against it at a time,
yeah.
Why? You're going to be sore when night comes because it just don't work. Just let it do the work, you know? Like I used to tell my chum, I said...
You know, let me tell you, Marvin, I don't know why I got as far along as I did without being able to sharpen an axe. But since you showed me that out there, every time I come in, I do it like a hoe.
Mm-hmm.
I just take it in there when I bring it in, before I go out. I wouldn't go out now without.
Well,
without
you got a good sharp axe when you go out.
Yes, and you don't have to hit it.
That's right.
Once. And. I see. I wouldn't work with a dull hole.
Why not?
But and it's just as easy to work on that axe.
Once you get it thinned down, it don't take but about 2 rubs, you know, to decide to put that edge back on it, does it?
No, and it's all in the way you put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in there. You see, I was putting it in there where it'd pick up the light and blind me,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't see where I'd been. Well, you see the way we did it. You see, it was a vice, and we put it in this way,
that's
and
right.
It was like this, and the light was back here,
mm-hmm.
and you could just stand there, you see, and mm-hmm. go to it.
Well, you got to always have your lights behind you, most everything, you know.
Yeah.
If you figure, well, it's simple like this. If you're going to shave, which I need one now, but if you're going to shave, you want your light behind you. You don't want it in front of you, do you?
No.
So there you are. I mean, that's the only thing you do. If you go to sharpen my axe or something on the outside, you're certainly not going to face the sun to do it. You're going to usually turn your back to it.
You know, and that old rusty file works fine.
Mm-hmm.
I've got 2 or 3 little spots on there where it's not rusty, and that's where it cuts. And you know, I was over there at that hardware store this afternoon, and I walked out of there and didn't get a file.
That rust don't hurt them. I tell you what hurts them. It's the metal that they cut out of the axes and the hose and whatever you file it. It stops up them little cutting things in there. Whenever you get through with your file, take it and tap it a couple of times on something solid, and it'll beat all that out, and your file lasts you about 4 times as long.
Oh,
So see, that's what stops it up, you know, and it gets slick. Mm-hmm. You know, you hit something with a file and it'd just slide right across it and wouldn't cut. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. It just.
You don't have anything to sharpen your saw with.
No, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to have the little thing you press it with, you know.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean, them little vice deal.
Little vice
thing.
Deal. But you got to have a different one for each size saw. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a one saw, so it doesn't matter. And a file, I got a file, but I don't have that thing to set the teeth. And the last time I priced one, it was a pretty flimsy one, and they wanted $4 or $5.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just look so flimsy.
And they are too, the cheap.
Yeah.
Cheap made things. People find that they can get the saw file and set a lot cheaper. Just carry them to the, you know, they got these automatic things. It does it now, and you can get it.
Mommy, if you could do that in one trip.
Yes. But
when
you
gotta
can't
leave
do
it and then go get it.
Well, that's true. And wait a week or 2 weeks.
It makes it tedious.
That's right.
Now that's one thing that's hard about these side saw mowers. They don't want you to bring your blade in there and get them to file it and come on home. They want you to come in there and just sew it down and put your name on it, and they'll get to it in a week or 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you bring in the other one, you see, you can swap it for the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not everybody going to be in business like that.
That's right. Oh, that side mower, that sickle bar mower, I don't never bother about sharpening anything. I usually keep the knives replaced if they gap up.
Yeah.
Replace them. And whenever it gets so dull it won't cut, I get me another and put on it, because I can do it cheaper.
You mean another
just get another knife and put on that blade. Just a complete outfit.
Brand new?
Yeah. You can do it cheaper and you can keep having them file, because every time you have them filed, you file one, or grind one, and put it on there, it'll only last a couple of days and it's dull again.
Yes.
It won't last like a brand new one, you know, because of the temper's gone out of the metal.
Oh.
And therefore, I just, it's going to cut anyway. I mean, it's got to cut, and it's going back in two.
Yeah.
If your blade's just tight, and they're not gapped, and your teeth is good in the guard, see. So I just go ahead and use it for two or three seasons, and go and get me a new one put on it.
Just the whole blade.
It's the whole thing. You know, you can buy the whole thing. Well, if you had to go and buy the little old knives that goes on there.
Yeah.
And a box of rivets, rivet them on there, it'd cost you a third more than the whole thing would cost you already built.
Is that right?
That's right. Because they sell them things by the piece, they don't sell them by the box no more.
Oh.
Used to could buy them, you know,
oh,
100 in a box or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And no more. It's 25, 30 cents a piece or whatever it is. They won't. And they sell them by the piece too. They don't. No wholesale left.
Yeah,
they know what's in the box. Well, it's 30 cents a piece for so many. That's it. Or 50 cents a piece, whatever they are. You know, I don't know what they are.
You know, one thing I found is if you got your mower and your blade and it's in pretty good shape, it'll last a little longer. If you keep as much moisture off of it as you can.
That's right.
Because just a little rust will take the edge off.
Well, I tell you, there ain't but one way around it to do that. That's when you get through with it. Clean the sand off of it. Good. Go to some of these little old hardware stores or paint stores.
And paint them.
Get you one of them little old squirt cans and just paint it. Just start and come down it. You know, one of them little old aerosol cans. And just turn it, spray on and come on down. That way, when you get ready to go next spring, it's ready.
We better run, Martin.
Yeah, okay, I'm ready.
Just don't run.
Well,
yeah,
now,
we need to go.
Come in here a minute. Let me see now. What is this? Tell me what. God Almighty, we haven't seen you in so long. We just getting further behind every day. What have you been up to recently?
Oh, we just been fishing. All last week, I was laid up with the flu. The bug got me.
Well, I'm sorry,
And so...
The week before, we went fishing every
day. You don't look as if the bug bothered you much. You look pretty healthy.
Well,
she's just getting
I went and got me some antibiotics and took them.
Yeah. Well, they must agree with you, because you're looking healthy now. Mm. They don't leave, when I get a cold, they don't leave me looking too healthy.
And the week before, you just went fishing
every day.
Fish.
And that new boat.
Let's go.
Yeah, we gotta go.
Well, I'll tell you,
I'm scared of the dark.
That's the prize we had. You got the wrong light.
Why don't you learn that? You've been living here 10 years.
Well,
I'm with George Bridges.
Well, y'all come see.
Hello.
Hello.
Remember me?
Yes,
yeah,
ma'am,
Mark,
I do.
She looks like a little.
I just come out to see you. I didn't know we was coming over until I got to the house.
Went over around 1500 and in the visit with Marvin. Miss Mary just came in from a long visit with Mamo and said, "We better go home, Marvin." And Mr. Eastman left a long time ago. And I had a long visit with Marvin. We talked about odds and ends, a good many interesting things. This Monday after supper, the 29th of April, 74, Channel 1 over around 1500 and in the visit with Marvin. This Monday after supper, the 29th of April, 74. Monday after supper, the 29th of April, 74, around 1500, and in the visit with Marvin, and Mr. Eastman left a good while ago.
Yeah.
your barge is beginning to look good.
I don't know where we're going to keep it. I can smell a little thing.
Well, you can't keep food forever, you know. I mean, unless it's got,
and I haven't got enough vinegar to put on all.
Yes, sir. No. Yeah, same old thing. After another, and it's always the same, isn't it? He's learned how to do a lot of things. Yeah. Oh, is that right? I'll be done. Oh, really?
Game board.
going on, and they're not learning. Yeah. And then Mr. Eastman came by. He was interested in that service pole, whatever you call it. And then Miss Mary and Marvin came in. Yeah, they really came to see Mamu, but we got the benefit of it. But we didn't hear about the fish fry. You better get a little yourself, huh? Yeah. And Marvin would just have him help himself.
Right on.
Bye.